Hello, and welcome to the Groovy Uncle Podcast with me, Glenn Prangnell. The Groovy Uncle Podcast takes a look at the creative output of a prolific bunch of musicians and artists based in the Medway Towns. Each week, I'll be catching up with some friends, old and new, to talk about what projects they've been involved in over the years and what they're doing now.
You're listening to the Groovy Uncle Podcast.
So let's dive into the soup of groovy uncleness. Been a while since the last podcast. I've been rather busy, you see, recording a brand new album, which is out now and available from the Groovy Uncle website and Bandcamp page. It's called Make It Sound Like an Accident. Earlier this week, I had a chat with Roger Nichols of the Walrus and Carpenter show on Rock Radio UK about the making of the album, and he played a few tracks as well. So let's have a listen. Hello.
Hello, Glenn. How the devil are you?
I'm all right.
Anyway, well, you have been very busy, haven't you? Because, this is your 11th album, Make It Sound Like an Accident, or Mistake.
Yeah, it is. Album number 11. Well, it's actually 12 if you include the collaboration I did last year with Mayer on a Vague Ideas album, New York Letters. So it's actually, if you include that, it's 12 albums in 12 years. But this is the 11th Groovy Uncle album.
I think we probably talked about the Vague Ideas album before, but it was a very interesting idea, that.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really my project. I mean, I became involved in it. That was Mayer Rozelle, who lives in Philadelphia. And she approached me about writing some music and some contributions to her, what was initially a stage project. And I mean, it hasn't made it to the stage yet, but the concept was, oh, this could be a play, you know, a musical play. But we ended up doing the album first, because things move so quickly. Based on the life of John Lennon's and his life in New York on the last 8 years of his life. And so that was great. That was really different for me. I don't normally do collaborations, and I've never written for a play or anything like that before. So it was all new territory. A bit reticent at first, but it worked out really well.
Yeah, well, let's hope the play comes off. It'd be really interesting. I mean, you know, you've got that 60s sound and the Beatles sound imbued in your DNA, so you know how to do the music. And I forget the name of the track, but there was one that had got that I Am the Walrus beat to it, which was my favourite.
Oh, yeah. Had to get in there somewhere, didn't I? You know.
Thank you.
You also had an album of your own out early this year.
Yeah.
And now you're doing this 11th or 12th album, depending how we look at it. I mean, you have been pretty busy. And what led you to produce this latest album? Did you get a sudden moment of enthusiasm or creativity, or was it working?
Well, I always tend to either overestimate things or underestimate. But when I finished the last album, No Man's an Island, that was released on the 15th of January. So, you know, right at the beginning of the year. And whenever I put a new album out, I am a bit kind of, one of my faults is I don't concentrate enough on promoting stuff. Once I've finished an album, go, there you go, there it is. I do tend to just move on to the next thing. I don't look back very much, which is good in one way, but not so good in another way. So I just sort of think, right, okay, on to the next album. What do I want to do next? And I had no idea, other than got a few little ideas. I thought, I've released an album at the beginning of this year. I don't need to release another one until next year, 2024, which could be at the end of next year. So I've got loads and loads of time to work on it. There's no rush. And I just plonked around doing some songs. And what happened? Everything went really smoothly. And before I knew it, I'd finished it. I thought, actually, I'm going to release it this year, aren't I? And so what happened was, there was no particular idea behind it as such. It was just a bunch of songs that just went together really well. Then I hooked up with a friend of mine, Jane Wrangham, who had a song. We'd just been chatting, and she said, oh, I've got this song. What do you think of this? And I went, oh, that's great. Do you want to put it on the new album? Right. I think it would fit in with the new album. And she went, oh, yeah. Well, let's do that. So I said, but on the condition that you have to sing backing vocals and lead vocals on one of my songs. And she went, yeah, I'm up for that. And so because of the collaboration with that on this new album, we both worked really well and really hard on it. So it was easy. Things went really quickly. And it was like, oh, we're done. Right, I'll put this out now then.
Now, Jane's song is Salt in Your Eyes, isn't it? Is that one?
That's right, yeah. That's her and her brother, Mark Wrangham, worked on that a long time ago. And it was a song that was sitting around, and I said, well, if he's okay with it and you're okay with it, you can put it on this album and you get your credit, and that's your song on my album, you know. It's a really nice song.
Drinking whiskey to soften the blow.
with this album. You've got the suite on there.
Yeah, so, it's in four parts. It's like a suite, because we'd like, on all my albums, I want there all to be a continuity and a familiarity, so people kind of know what they're going to get. But at the same time, I always want something to be slightly different. Oh, I haven't done that before. And I hadn't done a suite before. So with this one, I thought I can still keep it like cinema, but like incidental music, you know?
Yeah.
I love soundtrack albums. And when you watch a film and those little bits of music that might only be for 20 seconds, you think, God, that's lovely. And it's just a tiny bit in the film. And I love that sort of thing. So I thought, how about I try and do like a suite, like it's the beginning of a film. You've had the big intro song,
yeah,
and then it cuts to some incidental music. Then it goes into a couple of other songs and then back to a bit of incidental music. So I did that. And so, yeah, it's in four sections, two vocal, two instrumental.
Thank you. You're caught between a hard place and a rock. You can't ignore the ticking clock, and all the promises they made dissolve. You feel like you've been played, when every sentence has a ring. They're following an instinct for various nefarious reasons.
Got your social commentary in your lyrics,
huh? The interesting thing about this album, and I said to Jane, I didn't realize it until we'd practically finished making the album, and I honestly hadn't taken much notice, but every single song on this album lyrically, apart from perhaps one, they're all about deceit and smoke and mirrors and things not being as they seem. If you go through the lyrics, they've all got a touch of like, it's not quite right here. There's something wrong. And I guess that's what's in the air at the moment, I suppose, in the world, in politics and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. For me, that's what the album's about. Even though that wasn't the intent, I just wrote some songs and then stood back at the end and looked at the lyrics and thought, oh, that's what it's about.
Now, the opening track of the album, Are You Ready for Strange? And that's got Alan Crockford on guitar. He's doing that. And that's got a nice rocky feel. That's a great start to the album.
Yeah, I like that one. That came out of nowhere. I don't really know. I couldn't tell you what that was came from. It's just I thought I want to open. I was looking at the songs. And I thought, I want a punchy opener. And I thought, right, I better write one. So I wrote that. I thought, yeah, that's good. But Alan, you know, is better at playing anything than I am. So I thought it'd be good to get him to do some lead guitar and some bass on it. That'd be nice. And he's done a great job. And yeah, that's a good opener. I like that one.
Now, Alan's from Galileo 7.
Yeah.
You guys do play quite a bit as well. They've got some great tracks and done some great.
Yeah.
So you and he are all part of the Medway music scene?
That's right, yeah. I mean, I've been in bands with Alan. I was in a band called Good Child. And obviously, I knew him way back when he was in The Prisoners. And, you know, so I've known him since the early 80s or whatever. So, yeah, we're all living in the same house. We live in a big house together.
If you could conjure up that imagery, couldn't you? All the little room, and they all come out like the Beatles did.
Like the monkeys or whatever, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so that's the nice thing. I do know a lot of really good musicians and artists. I mean, Daryl, who designs my covers, and Bruce, they're all great graphic designers as well as being great musicians. And I'm really lucky that these people live nearby, and we just, any of us got an album coming out, and it's kind of right. Okay. Just send you a message. Can you do that for me? And yeah, that'd be great. And it's always top notch, you know.
Kenny's imaginary friend. Now that sounds typical Groovy Uncle right from the title.
Yeah. I mean, this one is interesting because it was another one where I didn't have the lyrics till later. I was noodling on the piano because I'm not a pianist, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I go all over the place, but I play chords that if I was playing on a guitar, I wouldn't have written that on a guitar. I couldn't do it, but it just came out. It was a nice melody and some nice progressions and stuff. And I just thought, this sounds to me like, you remember, you're old enough to remember the old schools programs, you know, or before the telly started and the music they used to play, or the test card, you know, and all that. And it sounds a bit like that. I can imagine it with a clunky bass on it or whatever.
Yeah.
So I got Alan to play. He put his bass part on it when it was still an instrumental. Right. And I think it'll work as an instrumental. But afterwards, I thought it'd just be nice to do something with it, write some lyrics and make it a bit strange. And I just got in that mood of that kind of era of strange songs that people would have on albums. We thought, what's that all about? Well, because it sounds a little bit strange and the lyrics are a bit strange. And we've already said, are you ready for strange? So I thought it's all tying in nicely. So that's where that came from. And then I extended it and put the lyrics to it and got Jane to do a bit of narration. And I did a bit of narration. So that's something I haven't done before, really, I suppose.
of a loner, always talking to himself. He should get out with friends more. Broaden his horizons.
Last week we talked about Salt in My Eyes, one of the songs that Jane Wrangham sings lead on and also co-wrote with her brother. But there's another ballad on the album, Glenn, and that's If Only. Now, that's a lovely song, by the way. Now, is that one you had in your back pocket already, or did you write that specifically with Jane's voice in mind?
Well, actually, If Only was one that I had the melody to and kind of the arrangement, because often the words and the music come together more or less at the same time. But with that one, I had most of the melody and everything. And at one point, I thought it might even be an instrumental. And I thought it sounded really like French cinema or something. And I said to Jane, it sounds like either French cinema or like a perfume advert or something. And I asked her at one point, do you speak French? You could do some French nattering over it. But it just had that slightly cinematic thing. And then I actually remember saying to her that I don't think I've got any words for this. I'm struggling with lyrics.
Right.
And as soon as I said that, I found the lyrics came along and really quickly. And I sent her another message saying, it's all right, I've got the lyrics now. There you go. Learn it, put your vocal on it. And that's how that worked out.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few tracks on the album, Glenn, we haven't got round to playing yet. Is there anything in particular that is at the forefront of your mind or you're particularly proud of at the moment?
Well, I do like The Suite. I mean, you've mentioned that anyway. I'm proud of that just because it was a different way of working and I've not done it before. And it's just nice to hear what people think of that. Kenny, I really like. But I also really like a one I've got a soft spot for is Cup of Tea, because it's like a 1930s, not Cole Porter. I'm not going to big myself up that much, but you know what I mean? It's like one of those old 1930s tunes, you know?
Yeah,
Noel Coward, maybe. Maybe it's a bit Noel Coward. I don't know. But, I like that one. But again, I think it's partly because I'd never written a song in that way. It was all on piano.
Yeah.
And it just sounded like an old 1930s song. And I like that one.
Myself that it's just not meant to be. You were looking for someone who turned out not to be me. I think perhaps I'm just not your cup of tea. And in the morning, times we didn't get to spend together, and all the storms we've never ever gonna weather. And wishing I could somehow put things better. What is it with me? Oh, what is it with me? While my cup is always half empty, yours is brimming over.
Is a lovely wistful quality to that track Cup of Tea, as featured on the album Make It Sound Like an Accident. And just to remind you, that's available on CD if you go to the Groovy Uncle Bandcamp page, where it's actually presented as a four panel digipack with a lyric sheet and artwork by Daryl Hartley, who Glenn mentioned earlier. You can also download the album digitally, and it's also now streaming on the major platforms. I'd like to thank Glenn for his time again, and of course for another wonderful Groovy Uncle album.